our new series is entitled Teach Us to Pray. The reason we particularly want to give time to focusing on this is that when we clarified our vision, and we felt like God wanted to give us a vision that was beyond what we could humanly see come into being, that took us way beyond what we can just humanly manage, but as it were, put us in a place where we are on our knees. It's only in you, God, that we can see this happen. And so when we talked about an expansive vision that's around seeing at least 1,000 devoted Christ followers transforming lives and communities across Manchester and beyond by 2025, it was like, well, none of us think we've got it in ourselves to be able to just go, right, well, if we just make this plan, we can do that. We knew this required him to be at work. And I guess then we identified, well, if we are serious about this, what are some of the key things for us? And we said things like discipleship, leadership development, evangelistic equipping and training, confidence in evangelism were really key. But alongside those priorities, we absolutely knew that prayer and that's somehow finding a way to grow in our devotion to prayer was going to be absolutely crucial if we were going to step into what God has for us. This was not going to come about by the hand of man. This can only come through the hand of God. We felt that's the place he wanted us to be in, not where we think we can just do this ourselves. And he wants to bring us to a place, to bring us to our knees, as it were. And so as we do this little tag team, this is like introducing the series. And literally, we're just doing a very simple, why pray and what is prayer? Why and what is prayer? And so I'm quickly talking about the why. And if you want to just have the very simple headlines, two things that I just want to say. Number one, because it's at the heart of our relationship with God. And number two, because it's at the heart of any move of God. One, because it's at the heart of our relationship with God. And number two, because it's at the heart of any move of God. It's at the heart of our relationship with God. That's what Jesus himself modeled. He was utterly dependent on time with his Father. Mark 1, verse 35 says, very early in the morning, this is challenging for some of us, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to a solitary place to pray. There was all sorts of pressures, all sorts of things coming at him, all sorts of demands on his time. But there was one thing that he knew mattered beyond anything else, that all that time with people was going to mean nothing if he wasn't properly in communion with his Father. And so he took himself off and spent time with the Father. He modeled something. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And Luke 6:12 says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. And then it talks about how he invited 12 to be his disciples. It was like he knew before he acted, before he did stuff, he wanted a whole night to be with his Father, engaged. He modeled something. And he modeled something to the extent that his disciples could see this was absolutely key for him. And so they said this in Luke 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So they see something in him. He models something. And then they say, look, you've obviously got this. Please teach us to pray. This is so key. And then what does he go on to say? He does. And the way he teaches them, he says, then he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Jesus modeled it. Jesus taught it. And Jesus made it possible to come straight into the presence of the Father. He's the one who's made it possible to come straight into the presence of the Father through his great once-for-all sacrifice. I've been reading through Hebrews recently, and it's interesting because Hebrews really focuses on what Jesus has accomplished for us. And in some ways, it looks back and it reflects on what it was like before Jesus for those that, as it were, lived under the old covenant, and that once a year, the high priest, having gone through all sorts of sacrifices and rituals and ceremonies, the one person could come into that place which represented the Holy of Holies, the place where the presence of God was. No one else could. It's like just way too much. One person, once a year. After countless sacrifices and all sorts of different things. And yet, it all changes through Jesus. And this is how the writer to the Hebrews put it. It says, the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. Brackets, for the Lord made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it goes on to say, such a high priest, verse 26 of chapter 7, such a high priest truly meets our need. One who's holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. And that's why Jesus could say when he hung on the cross, it is finished. It's done. I've done what I've come to do. And as he said that and he died, what happened? The curtain that was in the temple that separated everyone from the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. The way was made open so that now you and I, we can all enter in. We have access to the Father through the Son, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. The way has been made open. You may have heard the story of a soldier in the American Civil War who heard that his wife had died. And obviously that left him with a major issue because it meant his kids were left with no one. He was desperate, didn't know what to do, and decided to request a hearing with the president so that he could ask for exemption from military service to be with his kids. But when he arrived at the White House, he was refused entry. Guard said, no, you can't come in. And he was sent away. And distraught and desperate, he went and sat on a bench in a park nearby. And as he was sitting in this park, a young boy came across to him and just remarked about how unhappy he looked. And the soldier found himself just pouring out his heart to this young little lad. And eventually the boy said to him, look, come with me. And the dejected soldier got up and slightly reluctantly went back with the little boy and found him being taken back to the White House. But this time they went round the back. None of the guards seemed to stop them. Even the generals and the high-ranking government officials stood to attention and let them pass through. And the soldier was amazed. Finally, they came to the presidential suite. Without knocking, they went into the West Wing. The young boy opened the door of the Oval Office, walked straight in, and there was Abraham Lincoln, standing there in conversation with the Secretary of State. And the moment they walked in, Abraham Lincoln turned to the boy and said, Todd, what can I do for you? And Todd said, Dad, this soldier needs to talk to you. He had access through the Son. And that's the amazing privilege that we have. Jesus gave everything so that we could come near. And the invitation is then made in Hebrews. says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. The best way that I know to draw near is to in prayer and worship. We get to talk to our Father in heaven because of what Jesus has done. The way is made open and the invitation is made. Come in. Draw near. He's done all that so that we can. I heard recently a story that sort of appalled me in some senses. A guy had lost his wife fairly recently. And the first Christmas after he lost his wife, he wrote to his son who lived in New Zealand. And he wrote to him and said, I would just so love to have you and the family with me at Christmas. I'd love you to come. I know it's a really difficult time to come. It's the most expensive time. So I have put into your bank account money that I think should more than cover all the airfares and everything you need to come. I'd love to see you. I hope you'll be able to make it. And the response was, Dad, thank you so much. But actually, we think we'd rather use the money to go to Disneyland. And so that's what we're going to do. And I was like, what? How could you do that? And yet, I thought that in many ways, when I feel that sort of sense of, and yet, how much do I respond to the invitation from my Father in heaven that's been made through paying the highest price of all to come near, to come into his presence? Or do I go, actually, I'd rather do this. I'd rather be here. I'd rather be there. The highest price has been paid. The way has been made open for us to enter in, to draw near. And prayer is a two-way conversation. I love what it says in Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says, he wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. Mother Teresa says, God speaks. Sorry, she doesn't say. She said, didn't she? Difficult for her to say now, but she did say, God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer. And for me, that's one of the ways I try to pray, is I try in the morning, and sometimes maybe he wakes me up, but often my alarm wakes me up, I try to read his word, to listen to him. And I will read different passages of scripture and then try and pray in response to what I'm reading and what I sense him saying to me. And it's like that interaction and engagement and conversation. I'm definitely no expert, and I speak to myself as much as to anyone about prayer. But for me, that time in the morning, set aside, trying to listen to what he wants to say to me through his word, is really important. Then responding in prayer to him, it's like a two-way conversation. And then I find that if I'm just wanting to go into more intercessory prayer, that I tend to, if I just sit in my room, I get a bit lost. And so for me, it's easier. I tend to go out for a walk. And I go and walk, and I just begin to talk to him about different people and different situations and begin to pray. Try and make the most of that opportunity. So it's because it's at the heart of our relationship with God. And secondly, and very briefly, it's because it's at the heart of any move of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. When Solomon dedicates the temple, the Lord speaks and says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's something, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll do this. If we want to see the vision that God's birthed in our hearts fulfilled, if we want to see lives and communities transformed, if we want to see God at work, it comes by us posturing ourselves in a way, getting down on our knees, humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, it's not going to come about by us. It's only by you. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Prayer is one of the most obvious ways to humble yourself. It declares, I can't do this myself. I'm dependent on you. And the early church certainly understood that and had caught that. The early church, you know, it says they devoted themselves to four things, and one of those things was prayer. And you see that as you read through the book of Acts. Their commitment to prayer was absolute and complete. They were devoted because they knew there was no other way. Jesus had given them a great mandate and a great mission, but the only way they were going to see that outworked was as they reached out to him and invited him to work. I've just been at a conference with Josh on the Isle of Man. Loved it. Had a great time. One of the things that really impacted me was just being amongst the people that are in the church family there. And there was a spirit of devotion. You call that in lots of different ways. But this conference was pretty full on from 9:30 in the morning till 9:30 at night. We were staying with this family 25 minutes away from where it was happening. And so then we thought, so when do we need to leave in the morning? 9:30 start, you know, probably about 9. Oh, we'll leave about 8. Why are we leaving at 8? Well, because there's the pre-service prayers. And I have to say, I was thinking, well, you know, we've got a full-on conference. We don't necessarily need to be at pre-service prayers, do we? These were just ordinary members of the church family who, you know, normally work, had taken time off to be on holiday, but pre-service prayers, we're going to be there. Oh, all right. So Josh and I were there. And guess what happened? In the midst of it, we loved it. We caught their heart. And Josh says to me as we're coming back, one of the things he reflected and says, you know what? I think not just when I'm doing kids' work, but I'm just going to try and come every Sunday morning to when we pray. Sorry, I'm setting you up now, Josh. I'm sorry. Almost saw him whispering to George there. Oh, no, he's set me up now. it's like I want to make a response. And in this series, our prayer is that we won't just go, oh, yeah, we need to pray. But we'll feel like God gives us little handles of ways that we can give ourselves in greater devotion to prayer. And that we'll each catch something and say, right, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to step forward. And we'll take the opportunity to share that with our life group and help one another grow on this journey. And Al's going to talk about just a few things that prayer consists of.
Thanks, Andy. It was always going to be a bit of a risk doing a double header with Andy because I knew once he got going, I didn't know whether I'd get any time left, but he's spot on time. We said 12 o'clock, so I appreciate that, Andy. That's fantastic. My voice is feeling a little bit sore this morning. I think it's after singing rather more passionately than normal, so I hope my voice can hold out. I think I'm going to talk a little bit more about what prayer is, how we pray. Just a quote to begin with from Jonathan Edwards. I think this is Jonathan Edwards, the American preacher, not Jonathan Edwards, the triple jumper. He said, prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is of life. And you kind of read something like that and you go, yeah, I know that's true. But actually, why do I find it so hard? I think we all know that prayer should be easy and should be natural. It's an invitation in to speak with God. But actually, we do find it quite a challenge at times. And so I just want to unpack one or two things that might help us with that. Andy's read the passage from Luke 11 already this morning about when the disciples go and talk to him and say, teach us to pray. And what comes out of that is what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And in the version that we say today, that starts with this phrase, Our Father in heaven. And that's quite an astounding phrase in some respects because it speaks in four words of two things. It speaks of the nearness of God, talking about God as our Father, that God is near. God is someone that we can communicate with as a child will talk to his father. But then it says in heaven. And, well, our fathers aren't in heaven. There's an otherworldliness about God. There's something different. There's something far away and remote about God. It talks about, so in those four words to begin with, it talks about God being both here and there. In Romans 8:15, we read this: "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." We can call him Abba. Abba, it translates not better as father, but more like daddy. It's one of those words that children say first. It's an easy word for a child to say. When your children are, you know, starting to make noises and they're babbling, that, you know, Abba Baba is something that they would say quite naturally. Or da 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 da. You know, those are words that are easy, first words that children are saying. And there is something about our relationship with God that is that of a little child. Some of you will know about a prayer ministry called Sozo that Kingsway, who share the building with us, run. And I've had three Sozos over the years. But in my last two Sozos — Sozo is a prayer ministry time when you sit with a couple of people and they just help you hear God, receive pictures, receive words, speak into situations in your life. And in my Sozo about 3 years ago, I had a picture of the father reaching down to pick me up, like a father would pick down, you know, reach down and pick up a small child. And that was something that God was saying to me about the intimacy that he wants to have with me. And then in the Sozo I had a few months ago, I had a, you know, not dissimilar picture, just a picture of me sitting on my father's knee, just chatting away like a young child does to his father. Now that, you know, that may be something sort of, that those are something that's quite specific, what God's trying to say to me. But I think that is a reminder that we do need to come to God as a little child. When we pray, this is not a conversation of equals. And I think sometimes I can fall into that trap. No, I'm talking like a little child talks to his father. And if you're a parent, you'll know the joy that it can be when, you know, one of your kids, mainly when they're a younger kid — Anna doesn't do this quite so much and Dave doesn't do this either — when they just come and they snuggle up on their knee and they just start rabbiting away about all sorts of things. It's a really blessed time, and I think that's what God wants from us. And some of the things that they might say in those times can be quite interesting. And it was Father's Day last week, and it made me think about Father's Day cards and some of the cards that are around. This is a card. I got a card like this from Beth a few years ago because she used to be terrified about spiders. And quite often in the middle of the night, she'd come and knock on the door and say, "Dad, there's a spider in my bed." You know, she'd been out clubbing and got in at 3 a.m. and she still wanted me to sort the spider out. But sometimes with our father, that we want to tell them thank you for the things you've done for us. They want to say thank you that we love them. You know, this is something that Anna says. She's convinced she's my favorite child. It's not true. I love them all the same, but she's convinced. And I'm pleased that she thinks she's my favorite, but she's not my favorite, and she's away, so she can't hear it today. And don't tell her, please. But we okay, Dave's disputing that, but it's really not true. They might also say, they might just tell you how awesome they are, how awesome you are, sorry. "Dad, you're the boss." You just want to say, "Yeah, you're just fantastic." Sometimes they might want to say sorry for something that they've done wrong. This is one that my children should definitely say to me. Before I had children, I had lots of hair. I know that's hard to believe. So sometimes they might want to apologize. Sometimes they actually might want to listen to you. One of the things for my children is that none of them will ever support Arsenal. And sometimes they will come and ask you for things. This one, "Yeah, Dad, I can never repay you." That might be, "And I want you to lend me a bit more money as well." But that's what children do. They come and they talk about all sorts of things. And yet, I think sometimes our prayer life, we can just get stuck in the asking stuff. And that's not what our relationship would be. Prayer, Billy Graham says, is just a two-way conversation between you and God. And a conversation is an ongoing thing, isn't it? And I think over the years, I've got a little bit trapped, and I'm going to talk against Andy a little bit and then hopefully bring it round. I've got a little bit tracked about the quiet time, the time with God in a morning, that what I've done is I've ended up going, well, that's my prayer time for the day. And I've just put it in a box. And I go, well, I'm done with talking to God at 8:30 this morning, and I don't need to worry till tomorrow morning. And I think that's really unhealthy. That's not how God wants us to pray. God wants us to talk to him all the time. He wants us to chat continually. Now, I think putting time aside is really important, so I'm not going against what Andy says. Wouldn't dare do that in public. But I, you know... You know, it is really important, and I do try and do that, and I do try and get time with God in a morning. But I think I've had a bit of a distortion that actually God wants me to talk to him all the time. Andy's talked about a rhythm that works for him of walking and praying. That doesn't work for me. Every time I generally walk to church on a Sunday morning, and I think, oh, that's great, 10, 15 minutes, and I can just pray about the service. No, I get completely distracted by the trees and the cars and whatever else is going on. Doesn't work for me. For me, I need to get in a quiet place. It does work for me in my car. So if I'm going on a car journey, that will work. Which is slightly worrying because it means that when I'm driving a car, I'm not looking around at things, but don't worry about that. But actually for me, in my morning time, you know, what I need to do is I need quiet. For those of you who've been to our house, you know that our main living space is quite open plan. And getting quiet when Mel appears in the morning is not the easiest thing because Mel wants to talk to me. That's good. We have a relationship. She should be wanting to talk to me. So what I've resolved to do now is I'm going to go and hide away in the morning so that when I'm praying, Mel won't come and find me, put the radio on, chat about the day, blah, 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 whatever she does. Oh, she'll still find me, she says. That's a worry, isn't it? But we all need to find our best way to pray. So over the course of the series, we're going to talk about some of those different aspects of prayer. We are going to talk about petition and intercession, coming before the Father and asking him for things. But we're going to talk about adoration, how we come to God and we say thank you for all the things that he's done and praise him for just for who he is. We're going to talk a bit about spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about listening, about having time when we just stop our mouths and use our ears. We're going to talk about praying for the nations specifically as well. So we're going to touch on some of those aspects. And as people talk, we're going to encourage them to share what works for them and what doesn't work for them. So you've heard from Andy and myself today. You'll hear from different people the ways in which they pray. But also we're going to take time each Sunday morning to actually do some things together. So we're going to do something in a few minutes, so get ready. It's not just going to be a listening morning. We're just going to finish with a time when we pray together. But as Andy said, we felt as a leadership team, God's wanting to stir us in prayer. And so we're not just going to do that with a Sunday morning series and think that we've ticked the box. We want to do some other things. So we are creating other opportunities to pray during the week at different times. Andy's talked about those this morning. It'd be great to see you all next Saturday morning, 7:00. It does exist on a Saturday. It's a lovely time. I know if you've got kids, you're probably well aware that it exists. But it'd be great to see lots of you just come and gather. Those times are very unhurried and very unstructured. We're not sitting and we've got 3 hours, a list that will last of 3 hours to pray for. It's just a time to wait upon God and see what he is stirring in us. But we also felt that we wanted something sort of visible that we could have in the Life Centre to help focus our prayers. So Helen, Alan, is sort of leading that. We're thinking we're going to have something in the cafe. And what she'd like from you is a little bit of input for that. If you put the next slide up. So she set up a Facebook page which is called Because He Knew. And what Helen would like you to do is to go on there and share something. This is what she says. God describes himself in many different ways because he knew we need him to be all of those things for us. So on the page, please put in the comments section who God has been for you and head over to the community area and see what others has put. So we want some input. And from those inputs, we'll create something visual, dramatic, that will be a bit of a focus. We'll also give somewhere that people can put prayer requests and we can share answers to prayer as well. So that's going to be coming as well. But because he knew, if you just make a note of that in your head or write it down, and then when you finish, go on Facebook, put down something about who God's been for you. It might be this week, it might be yesterday, it might be over the last few months, but just share something that we can build together in helping us to focus on prayer. And the other thing, I've mentioned this before, but we want to sort of build up prayer warriors for the church. And so if you feel you've got a real passion and you do want to pray for the church regularly, then just give me your name, and what we'll do is we'll send out information probably on a weekly basis for things for you to specifically pray into. Okay, just to finish, there were three particular thoughts that I just want to share to help us grow a little bit in our prayers. The first thing is this, is to pray big prayers, particularly when we're asking for others, but also when we're asking for ourselves. Pray big prayers. What I mean by that is, pray expansively. Pray for things that in the natural are just not going to happen. We're praying to God. If we just pray for things that will naturally occur, what's the point of asking to God? They're going to naturally care. God is supernatural. God is outside the normal realm of things. So pray big prayers. When you read through Paul's letters and the prayers that he has in there, they are big prayers. Next slide is a passage from Ephesians. Let me just read this. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow, that's a big prayer, isn't it? And I contrast that with some of my prayers when I go, Lord, will you just bless Johnny and look after him? And I go, what am I doing? I want to be praying that stuff over my children. I want to be praying that stuff over the leadership team and over all of you. I want to be praying big stuff. I'm going to embarrass Ian, because I know Ian, in his journal, writes some of those passages from Paul. And then when he prays for people, he just prays them. He's not afraid to just nick stuff and pray that over the people that he's praying for. I think that's a really good idea, because sometimes we can get a little bit stuck about what to pray for people, and we can just go, oh Lord, just bless them, Lord, just be with them. We don't need to pray that God's going to be with us. He's already promised us that. That's a real waste of a prayer. Pray some of this stuff over one another, and let's look to see that God do big things amongst us. Because that's what we want him to do. We want him to move in power. If we're going to grow to be a church of 1,000, he's not going to do that just by little things happening. It's a move of God that we want to see. So pray big prayers. Secondly, pray as you can. Don't pray as you can't. We are all made differently, and we can't all pray the same way. But don't be embarrassed by that. Just pray in the way that God's made you to. So when we share stories, we're not sharing stories about how we pray because we think we've got the answer, this is the way that you ought to pray and the rest of you all got it wrong. We're just sharing something of our heart and how we do it. But pray as you are. When you go to a prayer meeting and someone prays for 5 minutes, that can be really intimidating. But that doesn't mean you need to pray for 5 minutes. If you just pray one sentence, that's fantastic. Because that's who you are. If you're a one-sentence prayer, pray a one-sentence prayer. If you're a five-minute prayer, pray a five-minute prayer. Don't stop. I'm not saying to those people, but just pray as you are. Find out what works for you and just do that. And whether you do that, how you do that individually and how you do that corporately, but pray as you are, not as you're not. And in life group, I would encourage you in life groups over the next few weeks, to be encouraging one another in this and thinking about, share how you pray, and that might really stimulate one another. But then, as Andy said, we want everyone over the course of this series to really step forward, really step into some new aspect of prayer, some new way of praying. So, you know, hold one another accountable to that. So in the same way as that I've said, yeah, I'm going to go into a room and lock the door in the morning, I hope Mel's going to hold me accountable to that and say, no, don't sit in the lounge. Go downstairs and sit and get some silence. Hold one another accountable to what you're trying to grow into. Thirdly, pray continually. Okay, that's a challenging one, isn't it? But it's in the Bible. It's in Thessalonians. Pray continually. And I think that's what I was trying to get at a little bit when I talked earlier. When our children, they just chatter to us all the time. And our prayer should be like that. I read a quote that says, "You don't have to pray for a long time if you don't go long without prayer." So you don't have to pray for 3 hours. If you're going to pray every 5 minutes, then your prayers don't need to be that long. So, you know, work out something, but that reminds you to do it. There are lots of ways in which we can do that today. There are some prayer apps. There's a couple here, Pray As You Go and Prayer Mate. I don't know if you've heard of those, but they've been recommended to me as just something that will help you. But even, you know, most of us have got a phone with some intelligence on it. Just put a reminder up on your phone. Some of you remember I spoke about thankfulness at the end of last year. And I put on my phone a reminder that comes up at 10 o'clock every night, and it just says three things. And what that is just at the end of the day, I just want to take a moment just to thank God for three things that have happened that day. Now, some days that's really easy. Some days that's not quite so easy. But it was just, I wanted to have a rhythm in my life at the end of the day that I just take a moment to stop and say, you know, thank you, Lord, that Mel didn't shout at me. Or, or, you know, thank you for the weather. Thank you for beating Andy at golf again. Whatever has happened that day that you're thankful for, just take a moment. Now, I'm not saying do that, but I'm just saying, you know, we have things that can really help us to be praying continually. And part of the reason we wanted to create more opportunities to pray together is that if you pray more with others, then you're more likely to pray more on your own. The two are going to build on one another. So the more opportunities we have. So as well as the ones that Andy has mentioned this morning, as a church, we pray every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Everyone's welcome to that. As a staff team, we pray at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday and a Thursday and a Friday. You'd really bless us if you came and joined us with that. We just pray for a quarter of an hour. We just want to make sure that as a team, we pray every day. On Wednesday, we have staff meeting and we pray at our staff meetings. But, you know, if you're around, just pop up and pray with us for a quarter of an hour. That would be a real blessing. And pray with one another in every opportunity that you got. But when you're praying, remember, you're not just coming to God with a list of things that you want him to do. You're coming and chatting as a child chats with his father about everything. And if you want some inspiration for that, read some of the Psalms, read some of the prayers that the people of Israel prayed. There's a whole host of stuff in there. They're just pouring out their heart and telling their father what's going on in their lives. So we said, as part of the series, we were going to do something that was a little bit interactive as we came to the end. And so we're going to do that based on the Lord's Prayer this morning. So the Lord's Prayer is quite familiar to us. It's got a number of sections to it. It starts with an invocation, an invitation to God. And then there's three petitions that are focused on God and about the things of heaven coming to earth. So it says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And really, all those three phrases are about things of heaven coming to earth. So you could read it, hallowed be your name on earth as in heaven, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And then there's three petitions that are more focused on ourselves, about daily bread, forgiving our sins, and about temptation. And then it finishes with some praise, some recognition about who God is. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. So we're just going to do something a little bit interactive. So, first of all, I'd encourage you to move in some way. You've been sat for 40 minutes, well done, but your bodies will have half gone to sleep. So, what I'm going to do is pray the Lord's Prayer in sections and then leave a time of quiet for you to just respond on your own. Not asking you to pray out loud, just to respond on your own. So this is how the Lord taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, God, now and forevermore. Amen.